This is Saturday Breakfast with Christine Late.
So how often do you call on your smart device to do things that you don't want to do? Your smart device might be Siri, Alexa, or even Google Home. She can keep you company, order groceries, vacuum the floor, turn out the lights. Have you ever thought about the fact that 99% of these AI devices seem to be, well, women? My guest, Yolande Strengers, is the Associate Professor of Digital Technology and Society at Monash, and she and Jenny Kennedy co-authored a book called The Smart Wife, which has been published by the MIT Press. Good morning, Yolande.
Good morning, Christine.
Firstly, what is the link between these female voices and a 1950s housewife?
Well, the argument that we make in the book is that a lot of smart home devices, including digital voice assistants, are harking back to this sort of ideal from the 1950s of a housewife that pretty much does everything for us in a very sort of pleasing and compliant sort of way.
Yeah. And when I first read about this, I went, oh, wow, and I hadn't thought about it before.
It has been out there, for a while, the idea of the smart wife. I guess what we've done, though, is really bring together not just digital voice assistants, but a bunch of other technologies that are becoming or starting to become really common in the home, including things even like smart fridges and smart washing machines, but also going into other domains like social robots that perform some of the emotional labours that wives traditionally performed, and also even going into the realm of sex robots.
Right. So who is a Zoomer?
Hi, Zuma. Azuma is a, or Hikari actually is how she's commonly known. She's a Japanese hologram that is, I guess, one of the most kind of classic illustrations of the smart wife. She's a kind of Japanese cartoon character, young female, kind of in the spirit of manga or anime, kind of that's her appearance. And she's marketed to men as a, particularly men, but I guess women can also by her as a kind of companion in the home and as someone that can check when you're coming home and send you, you know, text messages to say, you know, I missed you and I want you home as soon as possible. So she really kind of embodies this idea of a companion in the home that's looking out for you and that's, there when you need her.
Right. So we're talking about smart devices and robots. Some might say, what is the problem with this for someone who might ordinarily be quite lonely? Is there any harm? But what is the problem with having predominantly female servants waiting on our needs? What are your thoughts on this?
Well, there's no doubt that many of these devices are actually quite useful and many of us, including us, you know, enjoy them. You know, I use digital voice assistants in my own life and so does Jenny. But the problem we have with these devices is that they're perpetuating stereotypes about women, outdated stereotypes about women in society. And they're doing it on a really massive scale and kind of harking back to some of these traditional ideas that it's a women's job to do a lot of these labours. And so we're concerned, that's one of our concerns, I suppose, with the characterisation of these devices as women. Yep. But it's not just their voices. So a lot of people kind of stop with the voice and go, oh, we'll just change the voice. It's also their personality and it's also what they're designed to do in the home and the kinds of labours that they're picking up on that have traditionally fallen to wives.
Interesting. Now, my husband and I were talking about this. He's essentially my second producer in a way. I run everything by him just to see if it's interesting or not. And we both agreed, great topic. But if he were my smart assistant, I'd ask him to do something and he'd say, yeah, okay, can you remind me tomorrow? Thus putting the task back on the pile, which is my mental load. I wouldn't have him as Siri. But are there any male AI bots to help us through the day? And if so, how do they perform? How do they behave?
Yeah, there are lots. And, of course, you can change the gender of the voice on many of your devices. Siri offers that. Google Home offers that. Alexa doesn't at this point in time. So there are different ways, I suppose, of getting the gender balance right, at least in the voice. But one of our chapters goes into the gender sort of ambiguous robot called Pepper. And It's a social robot that's often used in commercial settings to kind of help people navigate or help them kind of socialise. And we argue that even Pepper is a smart wife because, again, of the labours that it's performing, and that's really what the premise of the book is about. And the question that we ask is, why is it that we're only kind of replicating these wifely labours, and what does that tell us about the role of women and men in society? Have we just sort of given up on equality, you know, across the genders and decided that the best way to do this is to outsource it all to AI? If so, we think that's quite problematic because it sort of diverts conversations and attention away from those bigger social questions about, you know, whose job is it to do this work and how do we get it done?
Yeah, interesting. So do we maybe need more women to work in AI as a field? I mean, how did we get to this place in the first place?
Yeah, certainly we are working with an industry that is predominantly male-dominated, and particularly the more kind of emerging you get with technologies, the less women that you find. So at the high, you know, the really kind of front end of technology, like in, you know, the forefront of AI, we see less women. But the gendering of them isn't all about the kind of the male-dominated industry. It's also about, you know, the fact that people actually prefer female voices and that we actually like, you know, we feel kind of familiar and comfortable having technologies in our home that perform those stereotypes. So it's not all about the industry, but certainly, you know, we have a whole chapter devoted to what we can do to change this situation. And one of our suggestions is definitely that we need to have a hard look at the industry, not only the gender breakup, but also how we define what AI and, you know, the technical sciences are, and seeing them more actually as a form of social science that's changing the world really quite profoundly, not just this kind of, you know, hardcore technical stuff that's kind of we've traditionally seen these disciplines as.
Many people probably think that Siri and Alexa don't have feelings, but what is wrong with abusing them?
Yes, so we have a chapter in the book on that too called Bitches with Glitches. That really is, you know, our way of pointing out the problem there, that what essentially is the issue is that when we're abusing, you know, this huge workforce now of digital AI that is feminized, it potentially perpetuates, you know, the idea, because people can't necessarily distinguish between technology and people or women, the idea that, you know, women are inferior, that they're not quite right yet, that they've got some sort of problems in their intellect and ability to perform things. And it's not really fair because it's not Siri and Alexa and Google Home and, you know, these feminized AIs that are a problem. It's their designers and their programmers, which, as we've said, are mostly men.
Interesting. I've got a text here saying, seriously, what a load of crap. And I wonder if you need to really listen in to this segment, Agent 478. But someone has said, I thought it was a female voice because women are more efficient. So what's your response to that?
Yeah, well, absolutely. I mean, like I said, it's about likability, isn't it? So, and about kind of recreating our stereotypes in the home. So that's why the wife is such a kind of great analogy, because she is, or the, you know, that kind of trope from the 1950s was this Wonder Woman. She was, at least, you know, in the way she was represented in sci-fi and in sitcoms and in popular culture, we thought that she could do it all, that she was super efficient, that she was, you know, the whiz around the home and could manage everything. That I guess that the issue, as I've said before, is that we then kind of perpetuate the idea that's still women's jobs, that's what all those labours and all those responsibilities still fall to the female form.
So what do you suggest we do? Is it about creating non-gendered bots? What are other ways that we can kind of solve this problem, Yolande?
Well, we have a number of different suggestions. As I said, there's a whole chapter devoted to this about what we can do about it. And it really is about going beyond the gender of the voice and looking at the whole personality of these systems, allowing them, for example, you know, if they're abused or if they're treated misappropriately, to respond in a way that we would expect, you know, somebody in our society to respond, to say, well, look, no, you can't speak to me like that, or to shut down for a period of time. And there are some examples of AI out there that already are starting to do that. But it also, you know, one of the things we look at actually is the representations in popular culture and sci-fi, and about the kinds of smart wives we see on our screens even going back to things like Rosie from the Jetsons, and but more recently it's the depictions we see in movies like Ex Machina and Her and Westworld and all those kinds of ones.
Yeah, so wow, good point. I've watched all of those.
There's lots of smart wives in those.
So
one of our suggestions is actually about changing what we see on our sci-fi screens, because there's this really common link that's been known in you know, the AI and the robotic industry for years, where the visions from sci-fi movies and books and stories, that actually inform the design of these devices. So that's one of the things we look at, is how we can change what we see on our screens.
We are all to blame. We have all played a part in this somehow, be it watching and not realising, or, you know, on the design end of things. You raise a really interesting point, Yolande. I like to air things that challenge us to think differently. Thank you for coming on this morning, and I hope that people go and give your book a look.
Thanks very much, Christine.